God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
You have probably heard of some near-death experiences. The common theme is that it was an enjoyable experience. Almost all did not want to come back to this dimension. But could this be true? Is there a better life on the other side? Here now is Pastor Larry with Billy Crone.
Thank you, Matthew, and once again, a warm welcome to all in our listening audience. We're back with Pastor Billy Crone, and we are talking about his DVD and the book, One Second After You Die. Pastor Billy, thank you so much for being with us again, and let's pick up where we left off yesterday. We were teaching about false teachings, and we spoke about evolution, we become God, reincarnation, purgatory, and then we kind of gave an invitation. You shared a little bit of your testimony. It was a wonderful testimony, how the Lord has just changed your life. He certainly changed my life, and coming from being a very devout Catholic in New York City, but being as lost as the fence post outside, I'd never heard the gospel. I just heard how bad I was, never heard that I could be made anew, and I was told, well, if I tried hard enough, if I did this, if I did that, did everything that has absolutely no power, and I was as dead as could be, spiritually dead, somebody told me about Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. And I know Jesus, I know the Holy Spirit and His fullness and His power and His calling, and we now have you on the telephone. So let's continue where we left off yesterday.
Yeah, thanks again, Dr. Sparks, many for having me on it. You know, last time we left off with the issue, you know, what happens when you die? And like you said, unfortunately, this is where the enemy comes in and he clouds the issue. And he's trying to lead people astray because there's only one way out of this mess, folks. There's only one way to heaven. It's Jesus, John 14:6. Again, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. You're not going to get there any other way, right? And the Bible's very clear that there is a heaven and there is a hell. There is life after death, okay? And if Jesus is not your Savior, you're not going up, you're going down. You're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. But the enemy tries to, you know, throw people off. You know, we saw again with the life of evolution and purgatory and reincarnation, all that stuff, and we deal with several more. But the Bible also is replete that if you do take God up on His gracious, wonderful, fantastic offer through Jesus, right, that's why it's called the gospel, which means the good news. Here's the good news. God's willing to forgive you of everything. And I mean everything, 100%. Past, present, and future sins, He knows it all. It's all wiped clean through the blood of Jesus. It's fantastic. So that when you die, okay, it's a whole different story. And we do a whole study on that, and I'll just hit some highlights. The Bible says that when you're a born-again Christian, when you die, it's likened to a pleasant transition. Let me think about that, right? Our whole world is scared to death of death. But as a Christian, you don't need to be afraid because it's a pleasant transition. You see that in Luke chapter 9, and again, we go into much greater detail in the study. The second way the Bible says death for the Christian is a sailing ship. Just, you're taking a pleasant journey. That's what the Bible says, Philippians chapter 1. The third way the Bible says for the Christian is a restful, it's just, you take your last breath here, and then you take your next breath in heaven. And it's awesome. You know, not screaming, you know, not, you know, some of the testimonies you hear people that die apart from Christ. I don't know how graphic you want me to get, but I'll share just one real quick story. And this was a pastor in Texas, and he'd been witnessing to this kind of rough, big, gruff dude who said he didn't need Jesus. He worked on the oil lines there, and he'd been witnessing to him, but he just had one say, I don't need Jesus. I don't need none of this stuff. Just get away from me, preacher. And so the preacher got a phone call that this guy had gotten an accident on the oil field, and one of the big pipes, it actually fell on his chest and crushed him. And he was clinging to life, and he was in the hospital. I kid you not, the pastor got the phone call. He rushes to the hospital, obviously, to see this guy. And he could hear him in the hallway screaming before he got to the room. And he knew it was the guy. And then as soon as he turned around the corner and went into the room, the guy noticed the preacher, and his eyes were just all lit up. And he says, preacher, preacher. He said, and he's grabbing the sheets, man. He's grabbing, tearing up the bed. He says, I'm in the flames, I'm in the flames. And then he died. I mean, folks, this goes on all the time. Now, but if you're a Christian, whole different story, right? Praise God, right? Because you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven. Now, another way the Bible likens death for the Christians is a collapsing tent. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 5:1, and he talks about our bodies. Our house is torn down. We got a building from God, et cetera, et cetera. And again, it's just like we're right now, life for the Christian, we're on a temporary camping trip. And one day that we're going to pull up stakes and we get to go be with Jesus in heaven, and not to some dusty old campground. It's going to be a place beyond our wildest dreams, right? The Bible also says it's a permanent home. You're never going to have to worry about it. It's eternal. God is the one preparing it. You're not going to have to worry about the thing burning down or bills to pay or bugs invading you or none of that stuff. All these things that we got to deal with on here on earth, our last breath here, 1 second after we die as a Christian, it's the beginning of eternal bliss with God. It's going to be fantastic. Now, I said all that to get to this. The third thing that we do, because again, we do four things on this study. Is there life after death? Number two, that's number one. Number two, what happens when you die? Number three and number four is there really a hell? And is there really a heaven? And so, again, one whole study is dealing with that aspect that people don't want to talk about. But guess what? Just because you don't believe it and just because you don't want to talk about it doesn't mean it's not real. And guess what? It's still there. Hell is still there, folks, whether you want to believe in it or not. And so we do a very extensive study on this and deal with a lot of the skepticism about this place that Jesus warned about over and talked about it more than he did heaven, because he does love people, and he came. The Bible says that Jesus came to undo the devil's works, to rescue us from the trap of the devil. The devil knows he's a defeated loser, folks. The scripture's clear. But he's so stinking evil, he's seen how many people he can take with him down into the lake of fire. That's his whole game plan. And it's all about leading people away from the one and only way out through Jesus, right? But hell is real. In fact, Jesus repeatedly talked about hell, folks. Luke 16 is the classic example, right? It says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and he lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus. He was covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Then the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. And so he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember... Oh, I got to stop right there. Listen to what he just said to the guy that's in hell. Remember. And he goes on, he says, remember that in your lifetime, you received good things, Lazarus bad things. Okay, but he said, remember. Folks, do you realize that people in hell, I think that's part, my theory is, I think that's why there's so much what the Bible calls weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. Because you remember. You remember when you were in that church service and the preacher encouraged you to turn to Christ. You remember when that loved one or that coworker, that neighbor told you about Jesus, but you laughed it off like it was no big deal. You, dare I say, might even remember when you listened to this broadcast with two men pleading with you to get right with God through Jesus so that you would not go to hell, but you will remember. Folks, don't make that same mistake. That's what the Bible says. And then he goes on and says that he's, of course, in agony, okay? And on it goes. In fact, Jesus, it was very graphic when it came to hell, right? In fact, if you do the study, Jesus used a word called Gehenna in the Hebrew to describe hell, okay? Now, Gehenna in the Hebrew, it means the Vale of Hinnom, or the Valley of Hinnom, and that's the valley that's west and south of Jerusalem, if you've ever been there, okay? This is actually where the Canaanites worshiped Baal and the god Molech, and they sacrificed their children in a fire that burned constantly. And in the time of Jesus, that valley had been used and turned into a garbage dump for Jerusalem. And in that garbage dump, just like a garbage dump today, into it were thrown all the filth and the garbage of the city, including the dead bodies and the animals and executed criminals. And to consume all of it, the fires burned constantly. It never stopped. Maggots worked in the filth. And whenever the, just like a dump, when the wind blew from that direction over the city, it was awful. It was horrible. Ugh. At night, the dogs howled and they fought over the garbage. And listen, Jesus used this awful scene to describe hell. In essence, he says, do you want to know what hell's like? You look at Gehenna, right? it's basically God's cosmic garbage dump. All that are unfit for heaven are going to be thrown into hell. And then the Bible describes this place. Folks, this is not, it's supposed to sting. It's supposed to be scary because hell is scary, folks. That's why Jesus warned about it. You wouldn't want your worst enemy to go there, right? But you look at the scripture, when it says about this place, it's called a place of thirst. Luke 16, it's a place of worms, Mark chapter 9, a place of no return, Luke 16, a place of remembrance, Luke 16, a place of the wicked dead, Luke 10, a place of the wicked demons, 2 Peter 2, a place of a bottomless pit, Luke chapter 8, a place of a burning waste dump, Matthew 23, a place of outer darkness, Matthew 8, a place of fire, Revelation 20, a place of eternal fire, Matthew 18, unquenchable fire, everlasting punishment, eternal condemnation, eternal judgment, everlasting destruction, weeping and gnashing of teeth, torment and eternal torment. It never, ever stops. That's what the scripture says, folks. And if you're going to believe Jesus about heaven, which most people will, they'll say, oh, yeah, I believe in heaven, yeah, yeah. Well, then you got to be consistent and intellectually honest, admit that, guess what? Jesus talked about hell, too. And in fact, again, he talked about it twice as much, roughly, than he did about heaven. Why? Because any sane, loving person, and God is love, they would warn people of going to a place like that. In fact, I like the quote from an atheist that he told a Christian one time. He says, listen, if I believe what you Christians believe, that there is a hell, that there's a place of torment, he said, I would crawl on my knees, my bare knees, on crushed glass all over the city, warning people day and night to flee from this place. I mean, even atheists know better, folks. But guess what? That's what Jesus did. He made a way that you could escape it. And he told people, don't act like this is not real, because there's not just one place that people are going to exist in the afterlife. There's two. One is heaven, but one is hell. Now, to make things even worse, people object to it. And again, we deal with all these objections to hell, and I can't get to them all, but you know, one of them people put up out there, they say it's a false teaching called universalism. And what it says is that, you know, hey, it doesn't matter what people do, regardless of their beliefs, whatever, everybody's going to go to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible says. And first of all, Jesus told us to evangelize, to share the gospel, that he's the way to go to heaven and to escape hell. So if universalism is true, then why do we need to share the gospel? And that makes Jesus' command nonsensical. Plus, the Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And if you said that everybody is going to get saved universally, then does that mean the devil gets to go to heaven too? It's crazy, folks. And plus, the Bible repeatedly talks about two eternal places, not just one. And then some people say, well, it's only temporary. You know, hell is just, really forever and ever? Well, yeah. Let me quote just one verse, Matthew 25, 46. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, folks, you can't get any more cut and dry than that. How long is eternal life? Well, it's eternal. It's forever. And we don't sneeze at that. Yep, we're going to go to heaven, and we're going to be there forever. Yay, yay, yay. The exact same text, the exact same verse, not even two verses later, the exact same verse says eternal punishment. Hell is not temporary. It's going to last as long as heaven lasts, right? Another one is annihilationism. They say that, no, these people won't be tormented. They just go poof, they get annihilated. That's not what the Bible says. Revelation 20 talks about how when the devil is thrown into the lake of fire, and it says there, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. There's no poof. And again, hell is a place of punishment. So if you believe in annihilationism, that's a release from punishment. Right? But a big lie that's out there, Dr. Spargimino, you hear this from people all the time. Hell is life on earth. And if there is a hell, I'm going to be down there drinking beer with my buddies. Are you kidding me, folks? That's one of the craziest things you could ever say. The Bible is replete. Hell is one place you don't want to be. It's not only real, whether you can laugh and scoff at it, you don't want to be there. And Jesus Christ, praise God, made a way out completely free. You just got to receive it. Receive it right now if that's you. Driving in the car, listen to it. I don't care where you are. Just call upon the name of Jesus Christ now. Ask him to forgive you. Don't go to hell. Because one second after you die, if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, you're in a heap of trouble.
Amen. Our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. Each human being is heading either for an eternity of joy and blessings or an eternity of misery and woe. Our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. Ask for the book and the DVD, 1 Second After You Die. You know, Pastor Billy, one of the real tragedies today is the deception in our world. I'm thinking of Governor Cuomo in New York and the governor in Virginia. They are murderers. And I'm thinking of Planned Parenthood. They are murderers. They're going to fry forever and ever and ever. The agony, the screaming. I mean, you know, you just think of the agony of 60 million babies, I guess 65 million babies that have been murdered thus far. That's awful. But the agony that they will experience in hell will be unbelievable. And then, you know, you've got the socialist, okay? The government is going to be, you know, it's going to be your savior. The government is going to save you. It's going to give you everything you want. You won't have to work anymore, just like Obama. When they elected him, they, people said, I don't have to buy any more gas. Ha, ha, ha. I don't have to pay my rent. Nonsense! We need to wake up. The deception is ugly. It's awful. And the really sad thing, there are so many people who are falling for it. And guess what? The flames are there. The hell is there. It's real. A lot of people say, what's happened to hell? Nothing. It's still there. Pastor Billy, you're going really wonderfully. You know, people can mock the Bible. People can mock heaven. You can mock hell. But listen, once a person is gone, there's no second chance. Thank you, dear brother, so much for 1 Second After You Die. But we still got several more minutes, so let's pick up where you left off.
Well, you know, and again, a lot of people, they say that they'll mock at, they'll act like hell doesn't exist, or they'll laugh, or they'll think, well, I'll just, you know, hell is life on earth, and if there really is a place of torment, it ain't gonna be that bad. All my buddies are gonna be there, and yuck, 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 yuck. You ain't gonna be yucking it up. You're gonna be screaming torment. I like what Dr. Mal Couch, I sat under him in seminary, and he did a study on hell, but here's his description after, you know, doing the scriptural study. He says, picture a time that just continues to tumble on and on forever, never ending, never slowing down, the same years and decades of torment, regret, sorrow, pain, blanketed darkness, nights never ending, constant consciousness, lostness, aloneness, loneliness, rumblings from the pit, groans, torturing fire, choking smells, unending and unending, no letting up, no relief, no comfort, never resting, never ceasing, never relenting, no end in sight. 100 years rolling into another 100 years, slowly turning over into 1,000 years, painstakingly into another 1,000 years, and finally into 1,000,000 years, the same grinding pain, the continual bone-racking agony, screams upon screams, weeping upon weeping, echoing sighs upon sighs, and you're just getting started. Folks, hell is real. You don't want to go there. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, that's the bad news, if you will. Here's the good news. If you would just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, folks, you get the polar opposite, and it's a free gift from God. Heaven is not pie in the sky. It's not opiate for the masses, as the skeptics would say, or Karl Marx, right? It's a real place that heaven, that God has prepared for those who love him. And you do the study, it's phenomenal. Everything you think about hell is the flip opposite of heaven. And again, you don't have to go to the bad place. You can go to heaven. You just need to accept Jesus as your Savior. But the Bible says that heaven is the dwelling place of God. It's the dwelling place of his angels. It's a heavenly country. It's a holy place. Listen, it's an eternal paradise. It's a place where the streets are made of gold, the place where the gates are made of pearls, the foundations are made from precious gems. It's a place of not just rest, but eternal rest. It's a place of not just joy, but eternal joy. Pick your best day you ever had in your whole life, however long that lasted. Maybe it was only for a couple minutes, but you were so infused with joy. Folks, that's chump change compared with heaven. And oh, by the way, it doesn't last for 2 minutes, it lasts forever. It's a place without wickedness. There is no more darkness. There is no more sin. There's no more tears. There's no more mourning. There's no more pain. There's no more crying, more death. It's a place of absolute purity. It's filled with the glory of God. Listen, it's an everlasting place. When you get to heaven through Jesus Christ, folks, it never ends. And then on top of that, if you keep doing the study, the Bible says it's not just that heaven's cool. We get new bodies to prepare us for that place in heaven. Okay, and it talks about the new bodies that we're going to get. They'll become imperishable, is what the scripture talks about, 1 Corinthians 15, right? And so we broke that down. Folks, think about what it means to exist with a body. body that is imperishable, right? That means they'll never die. They won't rot. They won't decay. You'll never break down. You won't age. I mean, it's incredible. You're not going to have any more backaches, no more broken bones, no more disease, right? No more anti-aging creams, you know, all that stuff that we deal with down here. Your bodies will not wear down. No more wrinkles, no more crinkles, no more age spots, right? It's just on and on it goes. It's going to be an absolutely incredible existence, right? And then, again, all the things that we have to deal with down here, we won't have to deal with there. Now, imagine, too, if our bodies, they're without sin. See, sin right now is what messes everything up, folks, down here. You realize that, right? Including our bodies. That's why we age. That's why we decay. That's why we die, right? But imagine existence where our bodies are perfect in that peak performance 100% of the time, all the time. But also, as you know, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, listen to this. It says, this is what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Right? I mean, so there's some things about heaven that we're just literally going to be blown away. We can't even imagine how awesome it's going to be. Why would you reject this offer? Why would you miss this? Why would you flirt with missing this? Get saved today. But one guy, he talked about if we had bodies without sin and if our senses were maxed out, here's what we would experience. Even from a scientific point of view, he says this. He says, listen, he said the electromagnetic spectrum contains all the different wavelengths, like radio waves, microwaves, including a small piece called light. He said, now your eyeball right now on Earth can only see the colors red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet. That's it. But the spectrum, we know scientifically, goes on forever in both directions beyond that. And he says this. Now, suppose we get to heaven and God gives us, remember, the sin nature is gone and our bodies are perfect. They're imperishable. And he says, so suppose we get to heaven and God gives us new eyes that can see the entire spectrum. That means there will be brand new colors, trillions of them. Not new shades of our current colors, but brand new colors. And then, of course, he said this. He says, that's why heaven has to be so large. It's for the women's closets. Okay, but anyway, but I had to throw that in there. But he says, now, can you imagine on top of that, if we get new eyes that can see the whole spectrum? He said, scientifically, you know what that means? He says, you're going to be able to see the sounds coming off the piano. Right now, we can only hear them. But imagine seeing the sounds. He said, what if we get new ears that can hear the whole spectrum? You're going to be able to hear the colors or smell them or taste them. He says, right now, we've only got five senses. Maybe there's more. But if God just took these five and expanded them to the max, we would spend forever walking around heaven and go, wow, whoa, did you smell it? Here, look at that. See that? It's amazing. Folks, that's not just pie in the sky. That's not just some cutesy scientific analogy. That's scripturally a very good possibility. No, because, again, what's he say? No eye has seen. No ear has heard. Our mind can't even imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. And folks, again, this is what God has won for us. This is why he sent his son. The Bible's very clear that hell was originally created for the devil and the demons. Read the Bible, folks. It was not originally intended for mankind. But since mankind rebelled against God, like the devil or demons, okay, then to hell you will go. But because God loves you, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take the death penalty in your place. That's what he was doing on the cross, right? So that you could be 100%, no matter what you've done. I mean, no matter what you've done, right? I could sit here on this broadcast and I could tell you about all kinds of sin that I was involved in. If you haven't heard my testimony, and folks, I never thought I'd ever become a Christian, let alone a pastor, let alone doing this interview today. But it's true. God can save anybody. He can save you. I don't care what you've done. We talked earlier about abortion and how twisted our country's getting in promoting infanticide and murdering millions and millions of babies. Listen, if you're guilty of that, turn to Jesus Christ right now. God can forgive you. He's willing to forgive you. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. That's what he was accomplishing on the cross. That's what the devil doesn't want you to know, because one second after you die, if Jesus is not your Savior, it's too late. Make that choice today. Turn to Jesus now. Don't make the biggest mistake of your life. Make the greatest decision of your life and say yes to Jesus. Yes, I believe you died for me. Yes, I believe that God raised you from the grave. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Come into this life. Save me. And not only forgive me, but when I die, please take me to heaven. And folks, here's the great news. He will. He will. Just turn to Jesus now.
You know, when you talk about abortion and some of the young ladies who have had an abortion and realize it's a sin, and you know, they find it so hard to forgive themselves. But when they know the gospel, when they know that the God of heaven and earth has forgiven them through the blood of Jesus Christ, then they can understand that, yes, they can enjoy forgiveness. They can enjoy new life. And you know, Pastor Billy, every day has its challenges. I think of the sore throats that people have. I think of the traffic jams. But man, when we go to heaven, none of that. And here's the really exciting thing. It's a free gift. No strings attached. You know, we hear these advertisements that sound so good. You know, you can have a free trip to the Caribbean or whatever. There's always some strings attached. But when Jesus offers salvation, it is a free gift. Here's the reason. There is nothing that God wants from us. There is nothing that we can do of sufficient merit to merit eternal life. So God in his love has done it all. When Jesus said to Telestai, it is finished, it's really finished. All we need to do is to receive the gift of eternal life. How about you, friend? Have you received the gift of eternal life? Well, Pastor Billy, thank you so much for another great job, great ministry outreach, tremendous evangelistic material. Thank you again, dear brother.
Thank you, Dr. Spargimino.
Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listening audience how they can get 1 Second After You Die.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our very special offer today is the new DVD by Billy Crone titled 1 Second After You Die. This very exciting DVD can be yours for a gift of $15 if you live in the United States and $20 if you live in Canada. To place your order, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to Southwest Radio Church at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And this DVD is available on our website at swrc.com. We also have the new book with the same title, 1 Second After You Die, for a gift of $15. Better yet, get both the DVD and the book for a gift of $25. These are the perfect addition to your Christian library. That number again is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Thanks for tuning in today.
Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry talks with Alan Walker
here on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.